Today's session of Kosher Tidbits will focus on kosher issues with aluminum foil, styrofoam cups, and paper towels. Over the past several decades, the kosher industry has grown considerably. Food companies, recognizing the profitability of the kosher market, have pursued kosher certification in an effort to increase marketability and sales of their products. What has been especially remarkable is that the pursuit of kosher certification has not stopped with food. It is not unusual to find nowadays a kosher certification on non-food items. The potential kosher concern with these kinds of non-food items is the use of processing aids or release agents during manufacturing. These raw materials are typically used to ensure that a product will not stick to a production line, molds, or pans, and are used to lubricate equipment or the product itself. It is standard practice in numerous industries to use release agents or processing aids, which at times could have a non-kosher component. It is certainly worthy to address the issues involved, since these products, which will later touch food directly, may possibly come into contact with a non-kosher processing aid or release agent. There is much written about this topic in halachic literature, and some authorities actually took a stringent approach when this question was first presented. During the manufacture of aluminum foil, molten aluminum alloys undergo a series of rolling processes between top and bottom rollers. During this process, release agents or lubricants are applied to production lines that the foil comes into direct contact with. However, initially, the potential kosher concerns are somewhat abated since during production the foil undergoes a process known as annealing, which exposes the foil to a heat exceeding 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. This process could certainly burn any non-kosher residue the aluminum foil might have come into contact with and also qualify as a kashering through the process of Libun Chamor. However, toward the end of the process, the temperature does drop somewhat considerably. Although any foreign residue present on the foil surface would still certainly be burnt out, the process would no longer achieve kashering temperatures of Libun Chamor, and taste from lubricant at that stage would be absorbed by the foil. However, since the presence of release agents is always very minimal, any taste that the foil could possibly impart would always meet nullification proportions and not affect the food. In halacha, this is known as the keli hasui l'shtamish v'shefa, which is a utensil that absorbs non-kosher taste in such minimal amounts that the taste imparted by the utensil will always become nullified in the food cooked. The mechaber is lenient and allows one to use the keli hasui l'shtamish v'shefa without qualification. However, the Taz disagrees and only permits the use of a keli hasui l'shtamish v'shefa if the iser and taste imparted is unpalatable. There is a debate amongst authorities if a utensil is permissible after 24-hour period elapses, since once anenu ben yomo, the taste absorbed by the utensil would no longer be palatable. This leniency would certainly apply to aluminum foil, which is never available for retail sale on the market until well after a 24-hour period has passed from manufacture. Moreover, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal is quoted as being lenient with aluminum foil with slightly different reasoning. According to Rav Moshe, since this particular type of utensil is never available for purchase until after a 24-hour period has elapsed, the Gzera Midurbanan should not apply altogether. Aluminum pans are manufactured in a similar fashion to foil, and the potential kosher concerns are similar. However, there is one additional consideration with pans. During manufacturing, thick foil is stamped and formed into a pan shape, and a very thin, non-stick coating is applied. This thin coating is a possible point of concern as well. Therefore, some recommend washing the pans before use, although it is questionable whether this will effectively remove the coating from the pan and obviate this concern. Nevertheless, since the amount of any possible trefos, non-kosher residue, will be highly minimal, there is still basis to be lenient. Although there is a possibility on some level that these questionable materials could contain non-kosher components, Research appears to indicate that this issue is more likely to be just theoretical. Another very important piece of the puzzle is that very often, a release agent or aid, even when containing a non-kosher component, is independently foul-tasting, not fit for consumption. Although these materials will come into direct contact with food, they are present in such minute amounts that they will not alter a product's quality, profile, or taste. If the agent is foul-tasting and independently inedible, it should be permitted on the basis of being nifsal me'achila. Nevertheless, there is an opinion that if possible, these items should be lichachila, purchased with the proper kosher certification. There have been rumors in recent years that polystyrene cups, colloquially known as styrofoam, contain a non-kosher component that could make one's hot drink not kosher. This is inaccurate and is based on partially true assumptions. It is correct that most likely a non-kosher material is used during the processing of cups. During the manufacture of styrofoam cups, polystyrene beads are mixed with zinc stearate and filled into molds. The zinc stearate is used as a release agent that enables the cup to detach from the molds after the beads have been melted and fused together. A component of zinc stearate is stearic acid, which may be tallow-based from a treif animal. However, there are several considerations that should address this concern. The first consideration is that zinc stearate is tasteless, which could render it permissible despite being present in a mixture. The Shach has a well-known position that a non-kosher substance that is tasteless remains prohibited in a mixture unless its presence meets biblical proportions and becomes nullified. However, there are numerous authorities that dissented with the Shach's opinion. According to those authorities, since zinc stearate will not impart any actual taste from a styrofoam cup into a hot drink, there should be no problem. Secondly, the amount of zinc stearate that could possibly migrate from the cup into one's food is well below what is required for nullification. A styrofoam cup certainly would have the status of a keli hasur lishtamish b'shefa. Therefore, the only concern that would be a question of violating is violating the rabbinic prohibition of Ein Mevalin Isser Lechachilo, which is to intentionally nullify an Isser. Based on the discussion above about aluminum, this would not be a problem according to many authorities after a 24-hour period elapses from time of manufacture. Despite the claims of some that they witnessed thin oil slicks floating at the top of their coffee in styrofoam cups, that is actually just natural oil from the coffee itself. The potential concern with paper towels is different from aluminum foil or pans. The issue with towels is that the adhesive or glue that is applied to the roll, which allows the first few sheets to stick together and prevent the roll from unraveling. This adhesive contains numerous components, and as a result, many rip off the first three sheets before use on Passover, lest any adhesive present on those sheets contain chametz or kidneys. However, some take the position that this is not necessary, since adhesive or glue is a non-food item that is not at all fit for eating by any standard and should be completely permissible. It is interesting to note that glue can also contain derivatives from non-kosher animals, and discussion of this topic should not be limited to only Passover. Those that are lenient on Passover would also take a lenient position throughout the year, since glue is not fit to eat as food. There are no concerns with the paper itself. Thank you for tuning into this edition of Kosher Tidbits.